Greetings, everyone! Welcome to the first Musical Connections podcast of 2025. This is the show where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. So, if you're out there listening to me, join me now as we explore what makes Newfoundland and Labrador's music scene so special and so unique. Share this podcast with your friends and help me in my mission of building our Newfoundland and Labrador music sector one song at a time. I'm your host, Zach Snow. Happy New Year to you all. I certainly hope you had a very Merry Christmas and a great Christmas break. The 2 weeks off were nice, but it is now time to get back into the swing of things, helping build our scene one song at a time, one share at a time. And we kick off the 2025 season of the Musical Connections podcast with two members of one of the young up-and-coming bands in the trad music scene. We talk to the Salt Beef Junkies, members Luke Mercer and Ty Sims. I speak to them all about their 2024 and the release of their album Somewhere in Between. I was there for their album release show back in February. And we also talk about the album itself, how they made it, and how it was self-funded by the band themselves. We also look ahead to 2025 for the group, and they are also up for a Canadian Folk Music Award, so they're going to be going up to Ottawa in April. Good luck to the guys, and good luck to everyone who's been nominated for a Canadian Folk Music Award from this province. We cover all that and more coming up right after we feature the newfound releases of the week, the first of 2025. We kick off this year's batch of newfound releases with our frequent collaborator, DK. Now, I organized the Connectors internal page that I've been working on myself, just to keep track of every single release I've had. And I think DK leads the way with 12 or 13. This probably is his 13th release on this segment. And no shock, dude cranks out banger after banger after banger. With a little help from Uncle Fester, here is DK to kick off the newfound releases of 2025 with Real Talk.
This is cool, man. Business recognize the tone.
It's a hit waiting to happen, boy.
I'm not the type to play games.
Yeah.
DK. Coming at him again.
Take a trip, bone box in your ribs until they explode. My shit cold, causing corrosion, little bitch flow. Ready to blow like a button up in a buffet. Decay got you crippled like a 40 of Bombay. Nah, you ain't cutting little man like Big Sam. I'm taking out the works of these pissants. I'm too advanced for your garage band project. Decay a prospect, you a young ass hothead. It's your local degenerate, flicking shit around while you practicing etiquette. Attention deficit to kids, sick in the head a bit. When I'm rocking the crowd, impact is imminent. Yeah, I tear the walls down, Chico. The only buzz you catching is a flickering sheet blow. Let your peeps know the kid coming for blood. This some slasher type shit, chop you up in the tub. Let's go.
I make you seem like you have the best game.
This is cool, man. Business recognize the tone.
That's real talk. Real talk.
I'm not the type to play games.
This is cool, man. Business recognize the tone.
That's real talk. Real talk. The kid flex strong when the crowd is strong. Grab your pom-poms and walls off, cousin you soft. Getting tossed in the trash, little man, you're worthless. Return your shitty mic and make a practical purchase. I put it on for the East Coast. The only come up you're getting from giving out deep throats. Sits me on your track, man, see if I give a shit. Or the lunatic, bust your beam with a rusty pick. The boy's sick, about time they paying homage. About to hop a flight, they go murder another province. Butchering your pussies another day in the office. Promoters trying to come in and tap on the kids' pockets. Nah, yo, I'm paving my own way. Anybody roadblock and cop in the cold grave. I ain't gonna be no slave to a 9 to 5. I got drive, little man, the kid keeping it alive.
I make it seem like you have the best game.
This is cool, man, business recognize the tone.
That's real talk. Real talk.
I'm not the type to play games.
This is cool, man, business recognize the tone.
That's real talk. Real talk.
And that was DK with Real Talk to kick off the newfound releases of 2025. We also have a brand new release from the band Marceno, and they put out a single back in November, and here's their second single from their remastered album set to come out later this year. Here is Autopilot, right here on Newfound Releases. Was Marcino with Autopilot. I'll be hearing more from Chris Hibbs in about a few weeks' time, as The Way East got a brand new song coming out in 2 weeks. In the meantime, we wrap up this week's Newfound Releases with Quote the Raven. They got a brand new album coming out April 23rd, and from that new record, here's a song they worked on that was produced by Amelia Curran. Here is Borrow Time on Newfound Releases.
Ghost is hanging on. I see you.
End to the first batch of Newfound releases for the year 2025. I got a guide on my Linktree if you want to go over there now. Linktree/ZachSnowNL. It is right there in the Musical Connections Resources tab, and it'll tell you everything that you need to know on how you qualify for this segment. Any other further questions you may have, feel free to email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. It is now time to get into this week's guest for the Musical Connections podcast. I connect with two of the members of the Salt Beef Junkies. I connect with accordion player and lead singer Luke Mercer and co-lead singer and guitarist Ty Sims. I talked to the boys about their 2024 and the release of their debut album Somewhere in Between, which has netted them a Music NL Award nomination and a Canadian Folk Music Award nomination. We also look ahead to 2025 for the group, and we cover a lot in this conversation, plus the fact that their debut album, Somewhere in Between, was self-funded. All that and more coming up in this week's conversation here on the Musical Connections podcast. So let's kick off 2025 in style with Luke Mercer and Ty Sims of the Salt Beef Junkies. Greetings, everybody. Welcome back to the Musical Connections podcast. I am your host, Zach Snow. 2024 was a great year for the show, and we got some big goals for 2025. And my guests right now have some big goals for 2025 themselves. Hot off the release of their album Somewhere in Between and having a nomination for a Canadian Folk Music Award, these youngsters are making some noise in the trad scene in Newfoundland and Labrador. And joining me right now are two of the members of the group Salt Beef Junkies. We got Luke Mercer to my left, Ty Sims to my right. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Zach.
Zach.
And this has been long overdue. I've been trying to get you guys on since September.
Oh, yeah.
We've been pretty busy, but we'd love to start the new year with doing this right away. So
absolutely. And I can't think of a better guest to kick off 2025 with than you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
So 2024 was a big year for you guys. It was really your breakthrough year. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you feel about 2024.
2024 for us was, I feel, we took that next step from being like a youngster band to actually being like a band. We took that next step with making our first album, then we had our first nomination as a band, and now we have another nomination. So we got out there with more gigs and meeting more people, playing with more musicians. So I guess from there, it took the next step for us to become like more of a solid band.
For sure. And anything to add to that, Luca, what are your thoughts on 2024?
Well, I think 2024 has definitely been our best year because, like, it's when we've got most of our stuff, like, all set to go now because, like Ty said, we've been playing with a lot more people and getting into a lot, like, more different styles of music because we went up to the Northern Peninsula this summer and up there, the music up there is Newfoundland music, but, like, some of the people that up there, they write their own songs and, like, nobody knows about it. And, like, it's amazing to see, like, the people up there, like, in their songs. And we're trying on our next album. There's a man that gave us one of his songs when we were up there this summer. And we're going to record that on our next album.
Oh, really? Who was that guy that gave you that song?
Mike Gardner.
Yeah.
Mike Gardner, yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yes. Yeah, we're in the works of doing a few more original songs. But I think we got about two or three done here now, or we're working on. And that song that Buddy gave us there now. So we're trying to get a few more things done.
Now, two of those songs that ended up becoming very popular for you guys were Staying Here. I believe you wrote that, Luke, or you wrote that, Ty. Well, yeah, I think Staying Here was yours. Far Away, which is a song you sang on the album, you wrote yourself.
Yeah.
So Somewhere in Between was your debut album. You had an album release show at O'Reilly's. I was down there, and it was a great time.
Yeah.
And Aaron Collis and Tyler Humber got up to sing a few songs with you guys.
Yeah.
And that was a grand time.
Yes.
But your debut album, Somewhere in Between, what was the recording process for that light, because you recorded on this, I believe, with Billy Sutton.
Yep.
Yeah. That was, I think it was a good experience for us and an experience for Billy, because I think it was the first time Billy worked with, like, youngsters, and he didn't know what to expect.
Poor Billy.
So we tortured him a little bit, but we were about a month just fully recording, getting everything done, prepared. We drove him nuts, but we
might only took 10 or 15 years off his life. Yeah, that's all right, though. It was good times.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing studio.
Yeah.
We recorded at Jason Whalen's studio. It was an amazing building.
Yeah, Sound Solution.
Oh, it was an amazing studio to record in. And just like, I just can think about Billy and how much we put him to torture. It was just a really, really good learning experience for us because we recorded our first demos back in early 2023.
Wow.
And we recorded the three originals. And then I wrote one more after when we did the album.
Okay.
But we recorded three demos. We just did guitar, accordion, boron, vocals, no other like backing up stuff. There was really not much editing or like any mixing. It was just like demos to send off for grants and stuff like that. But besides that, that was all. And then when we actually got to the studio to do the full recordings, we were just like flat out every day, 8 to 9 hours a day. I remember Billy, we learned that we would, I think it was the very first few days we ordered McDonald's for food. Mm. And Billy would go out for like 20 minutes and he'd come back with brie sandwiches. Yeah. And we were like, Billy, what is that? And he was like, it's a brie sandwich, just try it. And we were like, all right, sure, why not? So I think after we went and tried it, like later on after we finished recording it. But just a learning experience for us to be with like such a well-known and amazing musician as what he's doing, and for him to be working with young people, I guess we had a really good connection after the first few days. We really connected and we worked out stuff, and we keep in contact with Billy all the time. Billy's an amazing guy.
Oh, for sure. And he's worked on albums for Matthew Byrne and Rum Ragged. Rum Ragged's been a very consistent collaborator for him.
Oh yeah.
But Billy's all about, you know, helping that scene continue to grow to the next generations like the Rum Raggeds and like yourselves who are really carrying that tradition forward. And You guys have been at this for quite a while. You've been playing accordions, I believe, since you were like a little kid?
Yeah, since I was 5.
It's insane. So how did that all start for you, Luke?
Well, I mean, as a little youngster, like, if you see something that got a bunch of buttons you can push, you're going to love it automatically. And if it makes a sound, it's even better.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so, I mean, when I was a baby, my father used to have my grandfather's accordion. We still got it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, I think it's from the World War II base in Stephenville. That's when it was made. It was brought there during World War II when they had everything set up there in Stephenville. So my family's from out in the West Coast area. So my father used to have that accordion. When I was a baby, I always used to be poking at it all the time. So I guess when I was 5, I was like, you know, maybe I should learn how to play it instead of just pushing on the buttons. So I started listening to Harry Hibbs, Minnie White, all the above, and I loved it. And then I started into music lessons, and for, I think it was 6 months, I could only play Hot Cross Buns. So,
listen, yeah. You got to start somewhere,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Got to start somewhere.
But of course, you also took lessons from Aaron Collis,
yep.
And he also took some singing lessons as well.
Yep. I took, Aaron taught me how to play accordion when I was 5. I did lessons with him and Mark Hiscock for a while. And Anthony Chafe, he used to play with Rum Ragged. He taught me how to play guitar and sing.
Oh, yeah. Me and him went to school together, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yep. He's a year ahead of me.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. There you go. I didn't know that.
Now you know.
I was just talking to Anthony not too long ago because my father got his moose license to go up on the Southern Shore, and that's where Anthony got his. And my dad was asking Anthony where some spots to go and where's the best spot to go get a moose and stuff like that. Yeah, because we work at Gatherall's.
Yeah.
And that's Anthony worked there for years, see? So that's how we also have a connection there with Anthony. Yeah.
Listen, he's a good hand with moose handlers, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
much.
Yeah.
He's nuts with... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me a picture the other day, or this was a few weeks ago, and he said...
Oh, yeah.
It was in his shed, I guess. It was my moose fridge and my beer fridge, and he opened up the freezer, and it was just moose
and beer.
And beer.
Moose and beer. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a Newfoundland Labrador's diet right there, beer and moose.
Yeah. Beer and moose.
Now, Taya, how about yourself? What got you into music?
So my grandfather was a musician around the bay in the town called Galtus. That's where my grandfather played for years. He played with many bands. And my uncle is actually the accordion player in Anchors Away.
Wow.
Don Fudge, yeah, actually. So I have a bit of music history in my family. But around the bay, like in Galtus and like Franceway and like all that kind of stuff, that's where Craig Young is from. So Craig Young actually played in the band with one of my cousins, and I took lessons from Craig for like 9 years.
Yeah,
and
Craig
that's
is,
where I started.
Yeah, yeah, Craig is one of the best guitarists like this province has ever produced.
I'd say
to play with Terry
best.
Clark and Gore Banford, it's insane.
Oh, he's like
Craig is deadly.
Craig is nuts. Like, I don't know if there's any better guitar player I've seen than Craig. Like, yeah, but I was with him for 9 to 10 years. Just before he left to go to New Zealand, I started, that was when I stopped doing lessons with him. But I started when I was like, I don't even remember how young, like pretty young. But yeah, that's where I started.
Oh yeah. Like even though you guys are still young, like you're 18, you're 15, you guys are veterans of the music scene. You've been at this for about a decade now.
Yeah, that's what we said. I told him the other day, because Alex was also, he's only 13 now. Yeah. I said, by the time Alex becomes of age, we'll be together for almost 12 years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be together for a long time by the time Alex actually comes 19.
Yeah. So. What impresses me the most about the current generation of musicians and the ones that are coming up, you guys have been playing music for years, and it's also because of programs like the Celtic Fiddlers program and Young Folk at the Hall that I'm seeing the musicians that have come out of there really become household names in our province.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really impressive. Like, look at the Rosemary Lawtons of the world. You look at the Rachel Cousins. Mm. Hell, look at Mark Manning.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like,
they've
been going through these programs, and now all of a sudden, they're really well-equipped to handle the music scene because they've been through these programs to know, like, what being a musician is really all about.
Yeah.
Now, how did the whole Salt Beef Junkies group come together in the first place?
So there's the name. There's really, we don't know where the name came from 100%. The story we can remember from the name, Luke, tell you about how we formed after.
All right, let us know, Luke.
Yeah, so, well, we were first going to name ourselves Almost Legal. My mother wasn't going to let us do that.
No, it'd run out too fast.
Yeah, so then we were like, you know, what's something good? And I think I might have been, I was sitting down eating Jig's dinner, I was like, Salt Beef Junkies. That's a song too. I was like, you know what? That's what I was going to call it on. I don't see.
Yeah.
I was like, and he was like, you know what? Sure. Salt Beef Junkies. Here we go.
There's no story behind where we got the name, but we formed a band because the St. Pat's Dancers, my sisters used to be the tap dancers in the St. Pat's Dancers, and Luke was the accordion player. And one day there was no guitar player, and they needed one, so I just filled in with Luke. And then from there we kind of formed a band together, and then Alex came along with us, and that's how the band came from there. Yeah,
that's wonderful. Now you've done some really big things over the course of I would say like 6 or 7 years you guys have really been together. You guys have been playing for quite a while now.
We formed the band probably around, like the band was named probably around 5 to 6 years ago, but we've been playing together for like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been playing since I was 7, I think.
We've been playing together for a long time.
That's when I started playing with dancers when I was 7. So that's when I met you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Now, you've played with some great bands over the course of your time together.
Oh, yeah.
One of the highlights of your career so far is playing with Shanaganuck. You guys got to see the Islander on stage with them. What was that like, going to be up on the George Street Festival stage with about 5,000 people downtown George Street having the time of their lives, and you getting to sing one of the songs that really has become a legendary song of Newfoundland and Labrador music canon?
It was like... Well, mind blowing.
It's
really mind blowing.
It's like a pinch me moment right there.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. No, there's a few funny stories, and we had a few fun experiences. When we were down there, there's one story after we got off stage, we had these two ladies come up to us, and they were like, "Oh, you guys were amazing! Like, such a good job. Can we get a picture with you?" And all this kind of stuff. We were like, "Oh, yes, yes, lovely, lovely." And one of them ended up actually being my English teacher.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, oh, wow, hi. And we had never met because it was like the next year coming. She was my English teacher. And we had a lot of fun. Yeah. But being in front of, like, on stage in front of so many people like that, well, that was probably the biggest crowd we've ever played for. Oh, yeah. Like,
I'd say definitely.
The biggest we played before that was probably at the Folk Festival on the main stage. So it was probably about, like, 1,000 people. Yeah. But for us, that was the biggest crowd. So it was almost mind-blowing because nobody knew, that we were coming out. So we had a few family members and a few people in the crowd. Like, Dean Clark was in the crowd. And he had no idea. And he caught a glimpse of us on the side of the stage. And he called us over right away. He's like, "What are you doing here? You're underage." And then we were like, "Oh, we're just here to listen." And he knew something was up. But we had a few family members in the crowd who, like, didn't know and stuff, and it was just, like, an amazing experience to come out. And they'd be like, "Oh, my God, we know you," like, all that kind of stuff. What about you?
Oh, yeah. But it was a really good time that when we played at George Street, like, just getting to watch Shanny, where we were on the side of the stage because we couldn't go out with the crowd, right? As much as we could pretend to be 19, I don't think we'd get away with it, right?
No. So it's a good thing you didn't call yourselves almost legal then.
Oh, yeah, there you go. But yeah, we were on the side of the stage and just watching Shanny play, like, their whole set, and they're so into the music with each other. It's, like, just deadly.
Yeah, and it's really the tightest group that they've had, like, ever, really. Oh, and they just celebrated 30 years themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the tightest that Shanny's ever been for, like, a band. Because they have, like, Brad is their drummer and Patty is their fiddle player, and they have two guitar players, I'd say, like Craig and Jason, both come along whenever needed, besides Chris himself, the lead singer and lead guitar player. But
yeah, and Mark, the button accordion player, listening to a lot of them growing up, their homebrew CD collections.
And Ian is, I think Ian's probably the best bass player.
Ian's a wicked bass player.
He's amazing.
He's nuts at it. Yeah, I say it's Ian and Justin Hickey, in my opinion.
Ian and Justin Hickey are my two favorite bass players in the province.
Oh, yeah. Justin Hickey's a great bass player, too.
Oh, he's nuts. He's
with the Irish Descendants for, like, 9 years, and now, especially with the Kitchen Party, and they're starting to explode now.
Oh, they're going places, 100%.
But the Celtic Christmas that Irish Descendants used to do with Kitchen Party and the Navigators, Justin used to play with that. And, like, that used to be my favorite Christmas concert of all. Like,
well, that was one of my favorites, too.
They, like... Especially Uncle Joe's Christmas, that Arthur O'Brien wrote that one. And I asked him a couple of Christmases ago if he could send me the words for the song because it was a really nice song. So he sent it to me, and we did the same thing as they did. So they go into Christmas in Killarney right after it.
It was the first time we did that song was out in Carbonaire for Ray Johnson's Christmas show.
That was the first time we did that song, Uncle Joe's Christmas. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Awesome. Who's been your favorite person or group that you've met or played with so far?
Rum Ragged, for sure.
Rum Ragged.
Rum Ragged, and I'd say recently, the funniest one was Bud Davidge.
Yeah, Bud Davidge.
Bud Davidge.
We had Bud Davidge up on stage at O'Reilly's to do the Mummer song with us for Justin Greeley tribute. Down at O'Reilly's.
Yeah, that was recently. What was that like to get Bud up on stage?
That was so yeah. He was there. Cool. We've met Bud a few times, and he's a funny guy, but we've never actually played with him. We used to do this set of just Semini songs together, and we never stopped. We just used to play them all together. We called it the Bud Davidge set.
Yeah.
And we did it at O'Reilly's for a few times, and then we got out to this wedding party out in Bay Bowls, and we hadn't practiced, like, we discussed adding a few new songs to the Bud Davidge set, and we discussed it, and we said, yeah, fine, we'll do it. We didn't really practice it much. We were like, oh, it's just a wedding party. We'll give it a go out there. And as soon as we walked in the door, Bud Davidge was there himself. I was like, are you joking? The one time we tried to switch it up, the guy who wrote the songs is there.
Wow.
And that was really the first time we met Bud, and we talked to him a little bit there. Yeah. And but then when we got down to O'Reilly's, he was there, and we were like, we can give it a shot and see if he wants to come up. And he got up there and he was like, yes, I'll do a song with the Young Squirts. Yeah. Oh, he's so funny.
Yeah.
There's a video on our Facebook if you want to check it out. And oh, man.
It's on TikTok too, Jack. Yeah, Jackie Sullivan got it on TikTok.
It's so funny. He's one of the funniest musicians that I've met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got stories for days. He's a legend in every sense of the word.
Yeah. He knows like everybody.
Now, you said you've played with Rum Ragged before, and I was down at that show for Rum Ragged's album release for Gone Jigging. You got to open for them. Mm-hmm. And you got up to sing Ghost in the Fog with them, a song you recorded on Somewhere in Between.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? Because that must have been like, holy crap, this is such a surreal moment. That a song that we recorded and that Rum Ragged recorded, we're singing it together.
Yeah,
no, it was an amazing experience because when they reached out to us and asked if we wanted to do it, I think it was like 30 seconds, and we had sent a message already back and been like, yes, we'll do it. No worry, was like, we'll do it 100%. And we didn't even discuss about getting up together and doing a song. We just were like, yeah, we'll go, we'll do our set, they'll do our set. And they had no, and we got there. I don't know if it was Mark or Aaron. One of them came up to us like, yeah, we're going to do a song together, by the way. I was like, oh, are we? Like, perfect. And they're like, we're going to do Ghost in the Fog. I was like, oh, okay, because we do a different version of what they do. It's the same, but we do it like we do a different version. But
yeah, you do it in a different key.
Yeah, something like that. And I was like, we're doing our version or yours? And he was like, no, we're doing yours. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it was surreal just to have them out there like that because that's one of my favorite songs of all time is that song.
With our version of Ghost in the Fog, what we tried to do with it was put Bob Porter's version and Rum Ragged's version and with our own little twist combined onto it.
Yeah, because if you notice in the third verse in Rum Ragged's version, they do it really slow and really quiet. Like there's not really many instruments and stuff like that. And that's what we did in our third verse, the same, because that was one of my favorite parts of the song. But we kept like the same like upbeat parts for the other two verses, like Bob Porter's version as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that must have been like a real pinch me moment right there because that's one of your teachers that taught you how to sing, how to play guitar, and play accordion.
Mm.
So getting to play Ghost in the Fog with them, like, wow.
Yeah, it was nuts. And we thankfully got to watch the rest of the show as well. Yeah. And I got to say, Colin Grant is the most entertaining fiddle player I've ever seen in my life.
Dude is ridiculously good.
He could do the show himself and just be like, wow. Like, he's just like amazing. And
he plays, he dances too. Like, whenever you see him playing, he's there dancing away.
He does, like, tapping his feet.
Oh, he's into it.
He's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he gets into do sets, he tap dances himself.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah, and just like, they're amazing to watch, and it was even more amazing to get the chance to actually get up and play with them.
Oh, yeah. Now, you've also been up for a Music NL Award in that same category, and then Rum Ragged took that award this year. I mean, no shock. They're the standard bearers of the genre now.
I said that.
But it's not your last nomination. I can tell you that
hopefully.
Much.
Yeah. Hopefully that's not. What I said to Luke. I said, when we found out, I was like, we're nominated for Music NL. I was like, we're nominated with Rum Ragged. I was like, we're not going to win. I said, but
we're nominated with Rum Racket. I said, Rum Racket's taking it 100%. If they don't, I'll be pissed.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's also, like, good for your resume, too, because that shows you, like, you can hang with the best. It can also get your more eyes on you from, like, other radio promoters or concert promoters or managers and stuff like that. Mm. It works really well.
Oh, it does. Yeah, yeah.
Now, you're up for a Canadian Folk Music Award, and the awards this year are going to be back up in Ottawa after they were here in St. John's last year.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be up for a Canadian Folk Music Award?
Oh, crazy.
I can't put words into it.
I remember there was a little story behind what happened was I was with my dad at my house, and my phone had died just before I left to go pick up my sister for school. And I left my phone at the house, and I noticed before it died that they were announcing the Canadian Folk Music Awards. I was like, oh, that's sick. I hope, like, Rum Racket wins. I hope they get a nomination. And I left and went up to get my sister, and because Luke's brother goes to the same school as my sister, and I saw Luke's brother outside. I was like, hey, Alex. He was waiting for his mom. I picked up my sister, and we got home. I was in my room, and all of a sudden, all I heard from the basement was, ah, and my dad came running up the stairs. He was like, you guys were nominated. I was like, what? So then I tried to get a hold of Luke, and his phone was dead. And he was at Mount Pearl, so we had to drive all the way home from Paradise before we found out.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like a half hour later before he actually found out.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was just a surreal moment for us to, like, actually be nominated for something like that, because we've been wanting to get out of the province for so long. And Dean Clark's been trying to help us get up there and get a few things, and now that we're going up there, we're going to try to do a few things with him and get a few gigs up there. But like, it's an amazing experience for us, because, like, we took that big step this year to go up, because we've never been, like, farther than, like, 3 hours away and like from, like, St. John's. So we took the big step this summer and went, like, all the way up to St. Anthony and Northern Peninsula and, like, all that kind of stuff. So we're hoping this summer to do that again, but get a few stops on the way, right?
Yeah.
So 100%.
It's a big thing for us to be able to, like, even, like, go further and go all the way up to Ontario. It's, like, a big thing for us, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to shout out Dean Clark here for a minute, because what he's doing with the Jigs and Reels radio show, the fact that he's doing it from Ontario, it's giving Newfoundlanders and Labradorians who are in the music scene a bigger opportunity to get out to more ears. Yeah. And that could be another snowball effect into more gigs, more opportunities, more interviews, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So, like, at the end of the day, it's good for all of us, really.
Oh, yeah, he's every time he mentions us on his podcast, he says, if I have boys, they're my boys. Like, he means the world. We released one of our first songs on his radio station. Yeah. We let him play one of our originals for the first time being heard.
He was first to play Far Away, wasn't he?
It was This Dance.
This Dance?
Yeah. Yeah, and you played that, you sang that with your sister, Jackson.
Yeah, my little sister, yeah. And yeah, Dean, we let Dean release it first, because he's been amazing to us. He's done nothing but amazing stuff for us. I remember the first time he reached out, I was like, who is this guy from Ontario? Like, what's, like, that's not real. Like, what is he doing? And I listened to it, I was like, oh, no, this is actually real.
Yeah.
And ever since then, him and my dad especially have just been like that. Him and my dad are like, because they're both, like, big beards, both, like, drink beer, like, great. And his father as well. Oh, they're all just, like, and they all, like, connect really well. And Dean has been nothing but amazing to us. Like, he's just one of those people, like, would do anything for anybody.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. Newfoundland Labrador is in his blood.
Oh, God, yeah. 100%.
Now, one of the other opportunities that you got to take on during your career was get to be on Rock Solid Build, the show with Randy Spracklin, Nikki, and the rest of the Newfound Builders team. So what was that opportunity like to be on Rock Solid Builds?
Oh, that was amazing. It was amazing because they did a project for my family at our house out in Carbonear, because we have a root cellar out there, because the house was built, I think, in 1880. So it's an old house. But, I mean, it's really, really solid. Like, the older it is, like, the better built it is. But, like, nothing could go wrong with that house because it's so old. But the root cellar that was there, there's a big slab of concrete on top that was, like, it had been 3,500 pounds, and it was getting loose, so we had to get it taken off. So Randy and them, they were like, okay, yeah, we can do this. So they did the project for us. They put a fire pit in, took the concrete slab off the cellar, and I wrote a tune for the show and named a cellar on the hill.
And that ended up on Somewhere in Between.
Yep.
So let's get to that album now, because when I was talking with Brenda O'Reilly about this, actually, when your album came out, you guys didn't receive any funding from this. Tell me a little bit more about that.
No, we didn't really receive any funding for it. We when we recorded our demos, we sent them off to be, I think it was like graded or whatever the process is to see if we get any funding for it. And we didn't get the graded score we needed to get any funding for it. And now we weren't sure, we weren't 100% sure what it was. But from looking at the gradings, from what I could tell, was it was just one person. Everyone else, all like say it was like six adjudicators or whatever it was, everyone gave us like, say we need, it was like score out of 30. We got like a 25, 26, 27, yeah. And one person gave us like a 10.
Yeah, one person, yeah. They wrote a few nasty comments.
It wasn't the best comments. Like there was nothing, like the one thing that made me a little frustrated was if the person felt that way, that they didn't like our music, that's totally okay. That's their opinion. There was no comment about, like, the stuff they said was nothing to be, like, helpful. It was just, like...
They called us children.
Yeah. There was nothing really there to be, like, you guys should do this instead to make it better. There was no comments of, like, encouragement of, like, things to do better, which a lot of the other people who were adjudicating it did. Like, they were like, this is so good. The tone is really good. One thing is just make sure to have an equal balance or something. Besides that, it's good. Like, there was some, like, giving us some encouragement to, like, make it better and some ways to help. But the one person who didn't give us any of that was the one person who gave us the low score.
And that brought our
average right down. Completely down.
And that ruined your chances of getting a grant.
Any funding.
Yeah, there's really nasty people out there. But, like, he didn't really give you that person didn't really give you constructive criticism. We're not going to mention any names here.
No, I don't. But, there was no names.
It's all anonymous.
It was all anonymous. Oh, yeah. We don't even know who it was.
Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah, and serving on a jury myself, like, I know what the process is like.
Oh, yeah, that was the thing. It's all anonymous. We have no idea. But, and like I said, there's I have nothing against the person who did it because their opinion, whatever. That's why we sent it in there, to be adjudicated. The only thing I didn't like was that there was no really comments about what we could have done to do better.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to say, like, you guys are children and stuff like that. We're trying to learn our children. You know what
I mean? You gave the comment just for the sake of giving it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so how did you end up funding that record?
Ourselves and our parents.
Self-funding and parents. We didn't do any fundraising. We didn't do anything. It was all self. We worked and we did as many gigs as we could. And we did a lot of volunteer gigs as well to try to get our name out there for more gigs. Like, we did a lot of gigs for, what's the place called?
Lanes?
Yes, Lanes Retirement Home.
Lanes a lot.
We do a lot there. We do a lot of volunteer for seniors home. But there's one place, Verapolin. We
Airplane Society. Airplane.
Yes. We do a few volunteer gigs for there and like trying to get our name out there to get some more money for funding and stuff like that and that kind of stuff. But it was a really tough process because, like, by the time we had paid off the album and we paid everything, then we had to make that money back. Like, we had to gig even harder to make back the money we had spent because it was like $13,000. Like, it was a lot of money out of pocket we had to pay.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, there's three of us.
And you can split it three ways.
So we split it three ways the best we could. And, like, the boys needed help because they're paying too. I helped them with as much as I could. Like, we tried to be equal and fair with it and understand. But it was a hard, it was a long process. And, like, we had to, by the time we actually paid it off, I think we sold, like, probably 400 CDs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would imagine you had, like, about 500 to 1,000 printed.
Yeah, like, we had a lot of done, and we had a lot of... I remember we brought hats down with us.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't think they were going to sell well, and we brought 15, and they were gone in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody... we all assume that it's not going to sell until we actually go out and do it.
And it, like, flew right out of our hands. But that was the hardest part for us, was, like... Jeez, sorry.
It's all good.
The hardest part for us was... that concept that we had to pay for it all ourselves. And it kind of sucked really hard for us because when we were young, we were still trying to learn and stuff. Now, we, as being young, we also did have the... oh, my God. We still understood the concept that, like, we are young, so we might not get it right away. We still have many years to come. But we, that was, like I said, the concept we didn't understand. Like, there was no encouragement for help for us, which kind of really struck and... kind of hit a nerve almost that, like, why? Like, what's the, like, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
But it was a long and hard process for us to be able to pay it off and all. And Billy was absolutely amazing with us. Like, Billy, anything we needed, anything we needed to wait for, if we didn't have the money, like, Billy was like, no worries, just whenever you can. Like, Billy was like right on. Like, Billy was perfect with it. Billy was, any help he could give, he helped us. And same with Jason. Mm-hmm. Jason was the same way, but it was just really, everyone who could have helped us. And it was really, that felt nice to us, that people who wanted to help us helped us and that kind of
stuff. Yeah, and that's less pressure on you guys. Yeah. And it's great to have like people like Billy Sutton and Jason Whalen in your corner who have been there and done that.
Yeah.
And look, no matter what age you are, no one has it all figured out away or at all. Mm. You're all figuring out as we go.
Oh, God, and that's the part of being young. Yeah. No, it was really, and like we said, there's no grudge or anything against anybody who didn't give us money or anything like that. We're just,
but you can also use it as motivation too to become better musicians.
That's what we said. That's what I said to Luke. I said, like, this, us being nominated for this Canadian Folk Music Award really shows, like, we can do what we want. It's like, we can do good with this. Like, if we stick with it, we can get those grants we need. We can get these awards, these nominations, and win some awards as well, right? Like I said, we just got to stick with it and just work harder and harder and harder every year.
Yeah. Once again, when it comes to those nominations, they're your first.
Exactly.
They won't be your last.
I think that was you who told. I remember someone telling me that at the gala. I think it was you who told me. Even
I believe
if you don't win, if you don't win, a nomination is enough, and just keep working with it. Like, you got to keep sticking with it. There's many more to come.
Yes.
I think it was you who told me that.
For sure. I'm a 2-time MusicNL Award winner, but I'm also a 3-time MusicNL Award loser.
It takes a few tries first before you win. And I'm happy that we grasped that at such a young age, like right away. Even like Alex being like 13 years old, like, we were disappointed we didn't win. But we understood, like, this nomination is just enough for us anyway to be happy with.
Yes, that can get your eyes on, that can get like managers and promoters and agents more eyes on you guys.
Yeah.
And that's what I was happy to understand, because like usually some young kids, if you like think about it, like, they don't get what they want. They get sad and upset and they give up. Like, I'm really happy that we equally just really, like, fast just grasped, like, even if we don't win, this nomination is enough for us.
Yeah. I mean, you'll probably reflect on it for a bit, but then you'll realize at the end of the day, it's one small piece of a larger puzzle of a, you know, of a goal you're trying to achieve.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I was pretty happy with that.
Now, I would imagine you guys have some big goals for 2025. You're going to be going up to the Canadian Folk Music Awards in April. I would imagine you guys are going to be attending the ECMAs in May.
Yeah.
So what are your plans now for 2025?
We have a lot of stuff in the works. We don't really have many. We have a few gigs planned, but we have a lot of stuff in the works, like a ton of stuff. We have a mini Newfoundland tour in the works for the summer from if we go back up. If they want us back up in Hawke's Bay, we're going to get a whole bunch of gigs on the way. We had someone reach out from Fogo doing the Fogo Festival. We had a few other places reach out, so that would be a good time for that. Yeah. We Paddy's Day for us is pretty busy. We're down at Shamrock City downtown from 8 to 11 on St. Paddy's Day, like prime St. Paddy's Day time.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a few other small things worked out for the summer and a few little big things, but we have a something in the works now. We're trying to figure out with doing a Christmas show with a few special guests and a few people we're trying to work with. And we're hoping, because the category we were nominated in at the Canadian Folk Music Awards, you have to be below 19 when the thing is recorded. And I turned 19 in June.
Wow.
So we're trying to get one more last thing out before June hits, to get ourselves put back in that nomination category.
So you never know. We might have another album out this year, hopefully.
Hopefully. Maybe. We're trying to figure it out and get something worked out, but because our time limit is June 17th on my birthday. And from there until then, as long as we have everything recorded by that day, it doesn't have to be produced. As long as it's recorded by then we're okay.
For sure. Now, we're going to get to one of those songs from somewhere in between shortly. But for people who want to find out more about your gigs that are coming up in 2025 and anything else Salt Beef Junkies related, where can they go when it comes to, say, website or socials?
You can go, we're on Facebook, Instagram. We're on all streaming platforms, I think.
When we saw there's so many streaming platforms we're on, I didn't even know half of them existed.
Yeah, I know.
There's so many.
What's this one here? I was like, never heard of that.
There's so many.
Yeah.
But a lot, like Luke said, there's a lot of other things like that. And the merch, I was telling you, our hats and stuff, if you wanted to purchase that, I think you can go on Spotify and it says on our profile where you can buy it. But if not, you can go on Atlantic Music.
Yeah.
It's there as well.
The link's in our Facebook and Instagram too. It'll just Atlantic Music Store, click on it, and all our merch is there.
Yep.
Well, guys, I'm very proud of how far you've come since I first met you guys. And it's only onward and upward from here. Congratulations on your Music NL Award,
yeah,
award nomination and your Canadian Folk Music Award nomination. Here's the big things for you guys in 2025. Luke Mercer, Ty Sims of Salt Beef Junkies, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, buddy. Zach. Thank you.
And that was Luke Mercer and Ty Sims of the Salt Beef Junkies. And right now, from their album Somewhere in Between, here is a song that they recorded for Rock Solid Builds, which ended up on this record. Here is Cellar on the Hill on the Musical Connections podcast. And that puts an end to episode 106 of Musical Connections. A big thank you to Luke Mercer and Ty Sims of the Salt Beef Junkies for joining me as my guest, and to all the musicians who contributed their songs for newfound releases. There are so many ways to stay tuned for everything that you need to know about this show. You can follow me on Facebook at Zach Snow. You can follow me on Instagram at Zach Snow NL. You can also subscribe to the official Musical Connections NL YouTube channel, where full-length video versions of my conversations on the podcast are uploaded every single week, which I'm going to try to stick to for the foreseeable future. And I also put up some videos of my backlog. I haven't got all of it done yet, but I'll be working on it throughout the course of the next few months. It should all be up there by the end of the year, so I'm going to be better at that throughout the course of 2025. And of course, I got some big plans for this show in 2025, so stay tuned to my socials for any news on those changes. And if you want to follow along with the podcast, new episodes drop every Tuesday wherever you get your podcast. You can get all the links to my podcast on my website, waterfrontmedianl.ca/musical-connections-podcast. Thank you so much for connecting with me once again this week. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Join me next week, where once more, we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to one another, happy New Year to you all, and until next time, safe home.